Watch Podcast. I'm Aaron Berger, a Nebraska Extension educator. For today's Beef Watch Podcast, we're going to be discussing an article from the April issue of the Beef Watch newsletter titled Leveraging Summer Annual Forages in Today's High Cattle Markets. To have a conversation about this, I'm joined today by the co-authors, Connor Beeler and Dr. Alfredo DiConstanza, who are both Nebraska Extension educators. Thanks for joining me today, guys.
Yeah, thanks for having us on.
Thank you.
Well, as we record the podcast, as I said earlier, we're sitting here in early April, and as we look at input prices for things like soybean and corn, they're much higher than we would have thought even 3-4 months ago. Fertilizer prices have increased. When we also look at what's happening in Nebraska as well, almost the whole state is in a place of drought, and the outlook is somewhat somber as we look to the rest of the spring, perhaps a break this summer if El Nino kicks in. But when we look at that and also look at the situation in Nebraska with demand for pasture, the valuable forage that we have in summer forage, and compare that to the commodity crops, it sets up an interesting scenario in terms of maybe considering converting some of these, what would traditionally be a row crop type scenario, into maybe something we could graze or take to forage, harvest as feed. Give us your perspective on maybe why a summer annual forage might be a fit this year on some row crop type ground.
Yeah, you know, whenever I sat down and started thinking about this article, one thing I've experienced since moving to Nebraska is I see a lot of pretty rough country on the eastern side of the state that's fenced in with some good barbed wire fence. But since I've been here the last 5-6 years, I've seen it in row crop production. And I think that was just a cause of, you know, the high corn prices that we saw a few years ago. And now the pendulum has kind of started to swing back the other way. And so really think there's some opportunity to increase your on-farm revenue with potentially planting summer annuals. And also, even before we wrote this article, the unfortunate circumstances of the fire in western Nebraska, I think that's really made it more relevant now that we are going to see some struggle to get forages priced at a reasonable cost.
As you look at the economics of this, share with us some of the thought process you go through as you look at input cost and value generated.
Yeah, so we use the FinBin website and then also the Nebraska Custom Rates Survey. And so we looked through the last couple of years and then compared some different prices of inputs. And so that's where the prices that we used came from. We're just kind of middle of the road there. And we kind of had our corn and soybean prices, if you include seed, fertilizer, pesticides, and machinery costs, around $350 per acre. Whereas if you were to plant a summer annual, say sorghum sedan grass, or maybe a pearl millet, you're going to have a lower seed cost, less nitrogen needs, and a lower machinery cost. And that totaled about $100 an acre. And you're looking at being able to put on about 150 pounds of gain on these cattle in about 45 to 70 days, depending on how long you graze them. So, you know, at 2 pounds a day in 300 grazing days, you can really put some gain on these cattle and potentially make more money per acre by grazing.
The other thing I would mention from a cow-calf perspective, forage is in demand as we think about pasture for this summer. And so Nebraska, we're looking at somewhere between $2 and $3 per pair per day. So if you're thinking about that as an option, you know, we can generate some value there as well, of looking beyond just the value of gain.
But I think you're correct. The demand for forage on cow-calf pairs is increasing. The value of gain is tremendously high relative to the expenses, even with shortage of supply of forage. And I think this is an opportunity to both position an enterprise or help another enterprise that probably is struggling because of drought or haven't been affected by the fire to push through the summer and come off weaning rates that are probably equivalent and weaning weights that are equivalent to previous years, which we know will capitalize on calf prices, as calf prices will probably remain high for the remainder of 2026.
One of the other things I like about the idea you've brought forward here is I think about Again, where I'm located, the western part of the state, it's extremely dry. I think there's going to be cows looking for a home here as we move into the spring and summer, whether that's a dry lotting or going to some pasture. The other thing that I think eastern Nebraska has is we are going to have an abundance of crop residue. And whether you've got some pasture for the summer and then you compare that with some crop residue grazing, we could have a scenario where we could be looking at a feed resource for some cows, basically July through March of next year. So that's the other thing I think that your proposal brings forward is just a way to also provide a summer feed resource that complements a usual feed resource that we have in corn stalk residue.
That is correct. I think this year is not a year to do what we always did. I think weather conditions and other things are demanding that we look at options from various different perspectives. So not doing something that is different might not be an option.
Connor, what are some other things that you think the opportunity to plant summer annuals brings in terms of just a value to folks that maybe are more traditional corn and soybeans?
Yeah, like you mentioned, it can really extend with that residue. I think one opportunity that people might have they may not think of is to do some windrow grazing. I know it's not the highest quality forage once you get out into the wintertime, but there can be a lot of it. And I think that if you were to do a sorghum sedan grass and let it head out, you're not going to get the full benefit of that grain just because it's got that waxy coat on it and it's hard to digest. But I think that there is some real opportunity to extend it even further past its growing life.
And I think you bring up a great point there, Connor. One of the challenges with grazing summer annuals is how fast they grow. And so it's one of those things that's, as I've been told many times, it's like flying a jet. You get on the runway, you take off, and then all of a sudden you're moving along much faster than you realize. And I think it's that way with grazing some of these summer annuals. So having some good management in place, being able to divide that annual forage into paddocks, and then maybe drop one and either put it up as hay or, as you said, let it go further along, windrow graze it. We could swat that in early September and be grazing those windrows as a bridge to get us to crop residue. So there's some things that can be done creatively, I think, with managing these summer annuals that can really help us capture more value from those. And I would just mention here that Dr. Mary Drnowski and Dr. Jerry Valesky did a webinar on this topic here earlier in March. And if you're interested in looking at some of the management practices, seeding rates, fertilizer, how to think about grazing this, that webinar is a good resource. That can be found at the Beef Watch YouTube channel. Again, it's the UNL Beef Watch YouTube channel. You can find that recorded webinar there. What other things would you like to highlight on this topic today?
I was just going to point Connor to the direction of some of the concerns that may arise when grazing some of these species, because of course, prussic acid and nitrate accumulation are areas of concern. I'll let Connor handle that.
You read my mind, Alfredo. I'll just add to that a little bit. Yeah, with grazing these summer annuals, you do have a risk of prussic acid following frost. But even before that, drought stress is another issue. And as we look to the summer and kind of where we're sitting, I think it's important that you make sure to test those plants for prussic acid. And also, don't graze them before they're 18 to 24 inches tall, depending on the species. And you can find more on which ones are going to have a greater prussic acid risk within the article itself. But that's definitely something to keep in mind. And also, they make some test strips that you can buy online that are just prussic acid test strips. And you take the plant, kind of crush it up a little bit, and you put it in a Ziploc baggie with that prussic acid strip. And it's pretty quick to tell you if it's safe to turn your cattle out or not.
And we know that for nitrate, best option is to take a sample and send it into the lab for analyses of nitrate, nitrogen.
Well, as we look at the current market conditions, again, I think this idea that you brought forward is one that sure needs to be considered. Again, depending on your scenario, if you have fences, if you have water, if you have a way to graze cattle. But as you said earlier, Alfredo, just doing what we've always done this year may not be the most prudent approach. And so considering your options, thinking those things through. And I think also we need to mention you obviously visit with your crop insurance agent. Make sure as you look at doing these kind of different things that you recognize also the potential impact that may have for you on your crop insurance and your farm program. For more information on the topic we discussed in today's Beef Watch podcast, you can find this article at beef.unl.edu. The title of the article, Leveraging Summer Annual Forages in Today's High Cattle Markets.